ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Look at verse 26 here in Judges chapter 9. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out into the fields and gathered grapes from their vineyards and trod them and made merry. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbabel and is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamar, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? If only this people were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech." So he said to Abimelech, "Increase your army and come out." When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly saying, "Take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem, and here they are fortifying the city against you. Now therefore get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be, as soon as the sun is up in the morning, that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And as soon as he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may then do to them as you find opportunity." It was the time of grape harvest, which means this probably took place in June or July. And here's Gaal. He's a kind of a big talker. You know, the wine was flowing. They were drinking. They got drunk, having a good old time. And I think the wine just caused them to kind of let their defenses down and just began to speak what was in his heart. He says, "Who's Abimelech?" In other words, you know, why should we serve this guy? Who is he to us? This is the guy they wanted, but not anymore. "Serve the men of Hamar, the father of Shechem." Wow. Gaal is really thinking too big of himself here. And I think, you know, he's drunk, you know, he's just talking out of his head. "Let me at him. I'll tear him to pieces." That's pretty bold, you know, since the guy's Abimelech's not standing in front of him at this time. And here is just the rebellion of Gaal. Remember that the people of Shechem wanted Abimelech to rule over them. But notice that they went into the house of their God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the false gods that they were worshiping. And since these gods focused so much on satisfying the flesh, all about self, Gaal led them in rebellion against Abimelech. And God said this was going to happen to him. And yet Gaal acted upon these things. His own will brought forth this rebellion. God just said this is what's going to take place. You know, the idea today of being against authority is kind of mainstream, isn't it? It's crazy how many people just want to rebel against those who are in authority. I was here on Monday, and I was doing some work on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden this black SUV pulled into the parking lot. And then another black SUV pulled in the parking lot. I'm like, wow. And then a sheriff's SUV pulled in the parking lot. And then another black SUV pulled in the parking lot. I'm like, oh my gosh, they probably know I'm Italian. They're coming after me. So here they come out of their vehicles now. So, you know, I'm not sure what's going on. And they've got the helmets, the vests, the guns, the battering rams. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? So they come up to me, like, you know, I probably had this terrified look on my face. And he goes, "Is it okay to park here? You got a gun. I mean, what am I going to say? No?" I'm like, "Sure." And then I, you know, big tough guy me, I'm like, "Do you want me to move?" I'm like, "Hey, is this going to be bad? You guys are really, I mean, there probably was 10 or 12 guys with the full armor and helmets, and these guns. I call them machine guns. They weren't machine guns, but they looked like machine guns. They were impressive. I respected authority. Today we don't see that, do we? Why? Because we don't have respect for God. And if you don't have respect for God, you won't have respect for man. Go look in the scriptures. The first four commandments that are given deal with our relationship with God, our vertical axis, right? So if our vertical axis is in line, the next six commandments deal with our horizontal axis or our relationship with man. So if this is in line, then our relationship with man is in line. But as soon as our relationship with God starts to come down, then our relationship with man also gets screwed up. And that's what I think we're seeing today. You know, we want to correct all these problems, you know, just give peace a chance or whatever. But I'll tell you what, apart from God, it doesn't work because he is the Prince of Peace. And the only way you're going to deal with the heart issue is by having your heart changed by God. See, we're trying to go about it the wrong way by passing laws and doing this and doing that. I truly believe this is all a heart issue. And it will never get right unless people come to know Jesus. When you rebel against God, you're going to rebel against your fellow man. And rebellion is not a good thing in the scriptures. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Samuel says rebellion is as bad as witchcraft. Will we ever think about that? No. We think witchcraft is horrible. But rebellion is just as bad. Why? Because if you're rebelling against man, that means you're rebelling against God. And the reason you're rebelling against man is because you're rebelling against God. Proverbs 29:16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Yeah. Don't we see that today? I mean, think about this. And I don't mean to harp on this, but I will because I guess I'm up here. Several years ago, when police officers were killed in Texas, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to put a logo on their helmet memorizing or respecting these men and their families who were killed, right? The National Football League said, no, you will not put anything like that on your helmet. Today, 2020, we are going to put Black Lives Matter on our helmets, and the National Football League is okay with that. Do you see how wickedness is? And granted, please understand. Well, I am against Black Lives Matter because it's a wicked organization. There's one race, it's called the human race. Forget about all this other garbage. Okay, let's just understand that. But Black Lives Matter is a Marxist socialist terrorist organization. You realize those cops that were killed in Texas were killed by a Black Lives Matter person? Go figure. Now we're going to honor Black Lives Matter. You see, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. And look at I'm on my soapbox now. Sorry. I'm done with sports. I'm a big sports man. I love football. I'm done. I don't care. Doesn't matter anymore. If you are going to support things that go against what God has said, I'm done with you. So that's just, got to take a stand somewhere. Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Isn't that interesting? Even the children are rebellious. And again, it all stems from turning from the Lord. There is no way that you could be walking with the Lord and yet attack your fellow man. It doesn't work like that. When your vertical axis is in line, your horizontal axis with your fellow man will also be in line. But what happens is as soon as we start moving away from God, we're doing what we want, what makes us happy. So here, Gaal is in rebellion against Abimelech, and Zebul turns against Gaal. He was placed in charge of the city, kind of the city manager. And what does he do? He warns Abimelech of what Gaal's doing. Hey, be on guard, man. You got to watch this guy. He's coming after you. Prepare. And so there truly is no peace for the wicked. And we see here the rebellion of Gaal. Look at verse 34 here in Judges 9, where we're told this. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night and laid in wait against Shechem in four companies. When Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance to the city gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you see shadows of the mountains as if they were men. So Gaal spoke again and said, see, people are coming down from the center of the land. And another company is coming from the diviner's terebinth tree. Then Zebul said to him, where indeed is your mouth now, with which you said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Are not these the people whom you despised? Go out, if you will, and fight with them now. So Gaal went out, leading the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled from him. And many fell wounded, even to the entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers, so that they would not dwell in Shechem. So here's the defeat of Gaal. And it's kind of comical if you think about it. You know, Abimelech sets his men in four divisions, and he's preparing to come against Gaal and those who are siding with him. And Gaal looks up in the mountains, and he says to Zebul, look, it looks like people are coming down from the mountains. And Zebul says, you know, you're crazy, man. You're out of your mind. This is nothing more than shadows in the mountains. You don't see people. You're seeing things. And Gaal looks again and goes, no, I really think these are people coming down from the mountains. Don't you see them? Well, yeah, Zebul knew exactly what was happening. And he lets Gaal think he's seeing things until when? Until Abimelech was right upon him. And then notice what he says. Where indeed is your mouth now, with which you said, who's Abimelech that we should serve him? Are not these the people whom you despised? Go out, if you will, and fight with Abimelech. You think you're so tough, don't you? You thought you're so brave. You could defeat this guy, Abimelech. Now put your money where your mouth is. Go after him. Get it done. Let's see what happens. And he does. I guess he probably wasn't as bold as when he was drunk. And the focus here is Isaiah 48:22. There's no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. God is clear on this. There is no peace, not some peace, not a little peace, or even slight peace apart from Jesus. You know, no peace, N-O, no God. No peace, K-N-O-W, no God. Absolutely. The wicked, the unrighteous, are not satisfied. What they're looking for can never be found apart from Jesus. And so what do we see? We see fighting, we see evil, we see immorality growing and growing. Why? Because they are never satisfied. They never find that peace that they're looking for in the things of this world. And you'll never find peace trying to satisfy the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is never satisfied. It's like an ugly monster. You keep feeding it, and it wants more and more and more. You know, it's like what God said to Cain. You know, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. It wants to take over your life. Don't open the door. People of Shechem thought they found peace, making Abimelech their king. But they're not satisfied now, right? Because this was not of God. This is not what God wanted. So there's no satisfaction. They're rebelling against him. And in the end, what happens? They lose. Man apart from God means that you're at war with God. And if you're at war with God, you're going to be at war, like I said, with your fellow man. And we see it today. And the solution, like I said, is Jesus. Allowing his love to fill your life, to overflow your life. I mean, how do you love people who put you down, persecute you, treat you wrongly? How do you love them? There's no natural love doesn't do that. Again, I'm Italian. I have people. We take care of them. That's not the love of God. The love of God forgives. And that is supernatural. That can only come from God, that kind of love. We can have brotherly love. We can have sexual love, but we can't have agape love apart from God. And that's what's missing, that agape love. So here's the defeat of Gaal. And I guess, you know, the judgment of the people of Shechem is coming next. Look at verse 42 here in Judges 9. And it came to pass on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and laid in wait in the field. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose against them and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. Now when all the men of the tower of Shechem had heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Bareth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalman, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." So each of the people likewise cut down his own bow and followed Abimelech, put them against the stronghold, and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Remember that Gaal was the man that was against Abimelech, but now Abimelech, after defeating Gaal, turns against all of Shechem. These were his people. Now, the people of Shechem thought, well, you know, Gaal's defeated. We're at ease. We're going back and doing our daily activities. We're not even thinking about a judgment coming upon us. It's normal life. But it wasn't. And Abimelech destroys the people of Shechem and the land he sows salt on it. Why? So they can't plant for a period of time. They can't grow crops. And as word spread about what Abimelech was doing, he destroyed the city of Shechem, and 1,000 men and women fled to the tower of the god they worshipped, the god Bareth. What were they doing? They were seeking safety in their tower, safety in the god they served. And in the end, it wasn't a place of safety, was it? It was a place for their destruction. Abimelech and his men come and burn these people to death. And that's exactly what Jotham, said would happen. If they refused to repent of their sin and get right with God, fire was going to destroy them. And they refused to listen. And I wonder if the people of Shechem are thinking, you know, would it have been better to have the sons of Gideon rule over us than Abimelech? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I think the Tower of Shechem is still around today. And what I mean by that is this. The Tower of Shechem to us is anything or anyone that you run to for safety that is apart from the Lord. And in the end, it's not a place of safety at all. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Psalm 61:3, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. If you want true safety, protection, you run to the Lord. Into his arms, because he alone can save. He's the strong tower, the one who's going to protect us. And here's the thing that we all have to think about. Every single person in this world is going to live forever. I know that's shocking to some, but we will live forever. You just got to choose where you're going to live. That's the key. Are you going to spend eternity with the Lord, or are you going to spend eternity separated from him in the lake of fire? That's a choice that everyone has to make. And if you don't choose, you've already made the choice. You've rejected Jesus. One writer put it like this. He said, have you ever been required to appear in court before a judge? Even if your only offense was a parking or speeding ticket, the courtroom experience can be very intimidating. Your wrong cannot be undone, and you must give an account for your actions and accept whatever consequences the judge decrees. There will come a day when every human being will be required to stand before the judge of the universe. At that point, there's no turning back, no chance to start over. We will each be held accountable by Almighty God for our actions and in this life and choices in this life. You know, when the police and the other group of people, I don't even know how to designate them, came to the church that day to use our parking lot with their armed, with their guns and everything, they were bringing judgment upon someone a couple doors down who was dealing heavy-duty drugs. This was a serious thing. These guys that were with the helmets and vests and guns didn't come from Manitowoc. I'm sure they came either from Milwaukee or maybe Green Bay to do this. But they were bringing judgment. Why? Because he did wrong. God is going to judge the people of this world. Why? Because they've done wrong. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. Repenting of our sins, asking him to be Lord and Savior of our life. Judgment is coming. The people here in Shechem rejected the true and living God. They refused to repent and get right with God, and they lost their lives because of it. And you can't escape this judgment. I don't know if you heard the story. It happened several years ago. This company, Rombi, based in Santa Clara, California, they make GPS tracking devices. And, you know, you take this box, activate it, and place it in shipment of, like, produce, fruit, or something other that's perishable. And you can follow the shipment and keep track of where it goes and how long it takes. Well, don't ask me why, but thieves who were probably like a few fruits short of a bushel here, decided to break into this company's office and grab a full box of these trackers. Well, co-founder of the company, Vita Subramanian, says that these devices kind of look like cell phone chargers. So they probably thought they had some kind of street value. Well, I guess it makes sense. You know, phones don't last longer than a workday, so people are buying up battery boosters. The thieves also made a stop in the company break room on the way out. And they found a beer in the fridge, and they took that too. As an added bonus for police now, the thieves cut themselves during the robbery. There was blood and fingerprints all over the place. Yeah, just kind of a few fruits short of a full bushel. And so the company was able to track them with their own tracking devices. The police were led right to these thieves within a few hours of the robbery. Can we hide anything from God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All things are open and naked before him. And here's the thing. What are we putting our trust in? What are we running to? You know, even as Christians, we can get caught up. You know, oh, we got to get this, you know, president, or we got to do this, and we got to get that passed, and we got to. And the thing is, where are you looking to for your salvation? Is it going to be the Lord? It needs to be the Lord. There is no other Savior than Jesus. And God uses good kings and wicked kings for his purposes. Can we trust him? You see, no matter what happens, does it change what we need to do in this world? You know, is God in heaven going, wow, I didn't see that coming. I'm going to have to go to plan B. No. God knows exactly what's happening. We don't know everything that's going to happen. But we have a good idea because God has told us. He's warned us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here. We're going to, you know, we looked at the judgment of the people of Shechem here and how these people lost their lives because they ran to the wrong God. We're going to finish up looking at the judgment of Abimelech, and really the judgment of Satan himself is what we're going to focus on. But look at here in Judges 9, starting in verse 50. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and they drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" So that his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his own place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.